Minka, and you're listening to The Sand Space. We are the first South African climbing podcast, we think. And we're super excited to talk to South African climbers about climbing and also some of the tough stuff. Stick around. Happy Youth Day, everybody. We wanted to release this episode on this day, when South Africans are thinking about the role of the young voices within the community. The youth are the future, and listening to Erin use her voice has made me excited about what's to come. If you want to know more about the 16th of June as a historical day, you can find the link to more information in our show notes. In April, we had the privilege of speaking to Erin Sturkenberg, the first female Olympic sport climber from South Africa, and James Barnes, the Olympic South African sport climbing coach and a well-known climber, crag developer, and involved member of the climbing community. Sorry about the awkward start. Similar to Chris's episode, this was the first time James, Erin, and myself really met. We get into the flow pretty quickly, though. At the time of the recording, they were in Cape Town training, so the recording was done over Zoom and essentially in a wind tunnel. Sorry about the noise. Thank you to Matt for making our voices rise above it. In true podcasting fashion, James and I deviate for a bit into the weird and wonderful world of crag development and safety. I obviously am interested in the subject matter. If you want to get straight to Erin, you know the deal. Skip ahead. I won't know, and neither will they. Overall, it seems as though Erin and James are a great team, working together for common purpose. They discuss Erin's Olympic goals, as well as her fears and tools used to get past those goals. Erin describes herself as a laughing young lady. She's 17 years old, in matric, and going to the Olympics. Just for a moment, think back to when you were in matric and what your priorities were. I, for example, wanted to know only about sports, teenage romance, my matric dance, and possibly sneaking out of the boarding house. I'm pretty sure my mom listens to this podcast, so I won't elaborate too much. Hi, Ma. Erin describes the importance of mental health and the work it takes to sustain a mental health practice with humility and grace. I am in awe of her and her willingness to be herself in all things, even when there is a stranger recording the answer. During the interview, it was so clear that James holds space for Erin to go through the motions, and I admire that, holding space for people to grow and learn about themselves as well as the task at hand without fear of judgment, can be tiring, but also so beneficial. Thank you both for sitting down with me and showing us these beautiful things. It is the 28th of April. Today we have James Barnes and Erin Sturkenberg joining us here on The Sand Space. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you guys doing?
Good, and you?
So stoked. So you guys are in Cape Town at the moment.
Yep.
What are you doing in Cape Town? Are you from Cape Town? Let's start there. Some basics.
No, I'm actually from Richards Bay. It's a little town on the north coast. Moved to Durban when I was 16 and, yeah, basically been climbing since I moved there.
I also live in Durban. I've been living there my whole life. But, yeah, I'm just down here to train for the holidays. I'm on school holidays, so I'm down here for a few days, 5 days.
Luck here, and I hear some wind in the back there. How has the weather been?
It's actually been quite good. Like, it hasn't rained at all. I mean, it is windy, but it's always windy. So
yeah, like the last 4 days have actually been pretty pleasant. Today's the only day where the wind's actually been picked up to quite gusty. Mm.
Cool. Okay, let's get to know you guys a little bit. What school do you go to, Erin?
I go to Wessel Girls High School. I'm in matric this year, so last year.
Sick. And James, you're a coach.
Yeah. I started coaching Erin in 2018. I moved back from Johannesburg then and started working at Southern Rock. At the time, there was a small little climbing team called Masterclass, which was like dominantly younger climbing kids who are really enthusiastic about competition. Mm-hmm. After picking up on Erin's enthusiasm towards the sport. I started taking her outdoor climbing a bit more to give her the real understanding of what the sport's about and not just being inside of a climbing gym. And I think that's where it kind of picked up her motivation to actually put more time in the gym to compete and also find rock climbing projects and put a lot more time there.
Amazing. So Erin, was that like your first outdoor experience?
No, I had gone outdoors, but I wasn't going too often. Mikey was my coach before James, so I would go with him sometimes. And my school also has I started climbing at my school actually. And the school has a program where they'll take the new kids outside maybe once or twice a year. So, I mean, I hadn't gone a lot, but I had gone to the easier, more local crags. But yeah, when James started taking me outdoors, then we go every weekend. And that was when I actually got really into climbing outside and projecting and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and it was quite nice because at the time there was a massive change in the scene where the KZN community had just been kind of climbing the routes that were already established. And after coming back, I'd realized that there was so much more potential for more rock climbing. And we ended up started rebolting the wave cave that was lying dormant for almost 10 years because of theft and muggings and things like that. The Shangweni Resource Reserve went under new management and they kind of reconnected the community with the reserve, allowing it to be a little bit safer in that regard. And it opened up the access to the wave cave. The biggest problem with that was the cave was bolted in the early 90s. So all the bolts had been pretty much rusted and destroyed. A few people in KZN decided to rejuvenate that cave and start rebolting lines and giving it access again. And that kind of got the ball rolling. And then we started having more time looking at other alternative places to bolt and found this incredible cave on one of the cliff bands called the Goat Cave. And I learned how to bolt while trad climbing and adding bolts in the steep cave. And Erin was unfortunately might be there. Unfortunately, because she had to be there for long hours while I was hauling myself around in the cave. But she was always the first person to try it, to go and have the first attempt on it. So it was always quite cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Theft and crime at the crags is, I wouldn't say a uniquely South African problem, but it's definitely a problem that we experience quite often. Has that changed around the crags, and have either of you had an experience and like that?
I've personally never had an experience, that's good. But my sister was unfortunately mugged at Magnetic Wall. She was climbing there with a group of friends and two guys came up with massive pangas, and while the guys were on the ropes and the girls were belaying, the guys threatened to cut the ropes if they didn't hand over money, cell phone, wallets and stuff. And then, yeah, that was kind of a traumatic experience for her. And it really isn't a nice scene because it's completely put her off going outside climbing.
Yeah, I've never actually had an experience, but I've heard about it a lot. And especially when we started going to the wave cave, what James was talking about, we had to be super careful and we were just very aware of our surroundings because in the past it has happened. But also luckily so far, nothing bad has happened to me specifically.
So yeah, we would go in large groups, maybe between 6 to 13 people. There were a couple of times where it was myself, Erin and Adam Fidley, and it would be a sneaky mission in, no music, very quiet, no support, two finger claps when you send and just try to keep it docile. It's not ideal, but the cave is probably one of the best crags in the country, and it's only climbed in winter because it seeps during the summer, and it makes it a small little niche of excitement during winter. A lot of people head off to Rocklands or to Bourbon, and the KZN climbers would either go to Mgeni or to the Wave Cave, and they're such different types of styles. We used to say we'd go to the gym, which was the Wave Cave, because it's more thuggy and juggy, and we'd go to school, which is Mgeni. We would have to be able to stand on our feet and be quite delicate.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. And you mentioned that the access holders or the lodge had done something to increase security. What exactly have they done practically? Are there patrols or something like that?
So I don't know if that kind of security based has been improved. I think the connection with the community and the reserve has like become better. In the past, it was more about the reserve was privately owned and all the money that went into it stayed in the reserve. So the community felt like they weren't getting anything out of it and were just seeing like very expensive cars come through, and the people kind of just like, I don't know, got angry or upset. And what happened with the new management was they connected the community with the reserve so that a percentage that was earned in the reserve was given back. And then there were also people that had never done rebolting or establishing lines, and we would take the guys and teach them how to drill holes, clean holes, bolt their roots safely, make sure that loose rock is removed, and that kind of thing, which kind of gave the guys a sense of purpose and a bit more involvement in the actual reserve, which was quite cool because we got to see a whole different side of the community. And the community eventually got a club going, and they would come to Southern Rock, where I was managing at the time, and they would come and climb our comps. And it was really cool to see how it had changed from just being like this one-sided reserve kind of making money on its side to now it being a more community-based project.
And have you found that the community has grown with that kind of diversity now into the future, a couple years later?
It's hard to say. With COVID kind of like put everybody on the back foot, and it was moving in the right direction. Then when COVID happened, there was some problem with finance, and then one of the local guys completely set fire to the climbing club and destroyed like all their gear. And it was like a very hard knock for the reserve because they had a lot of donated gear, lots of ropes, lots of old shoes, helmets, harnesses, quick draws, and all of that was just burnt in the fire. And now it's taken quite a bit of time. Obviously, I don't live in Durban anymore, so I don't really know what's going on there. But I drove past maybe 2 weeks ago when we were there, and the building was still in ruins. So it's quite sad.
If some of our listeners wanted to maybe help out there, who would they contact? Where would their port of call be?
I think probably connecting with the KZN MCSA would be the best option. They work with all the reserves in the community. And if they want to reach out to the Shongweni Climbing Club, it'll probably have to go through them. They'll probably know the best people to link up with. Like during COVID, a lot of people have changed positions and changed jobs and stuff like that. Retrenchments have happened. So we're not too sure what and who we'd be able to link up with. I can definitely find out, maybe send a link or send a contact through later.
Absolutely. We'll include it in the bio of this episode. We got a little bit off track there. Let's just rein it in. Okay, Erin, I wanted to talk to you about what you wanted to be one day when you were big.
What I want to be?
Yeah.
Well, I don't actually even know what I want to study at university yet. I have an idea, but I'm not sure. I'm thinking maybe in the engineering kind of side, but mainly I'm on a program to study overseas in America at the moment. And I just want to go there so that I can climb really. So I'm not too sure. Obviously I want to keep climbing too. So we'll see after this year where I'm headed, but I don't really know yet.
Okay, cool. When you were young, did you have one of those things, I want to be a when I'm grown up?
I don't know. When I was really small, I wanted to like go to space, but I don't know.
Hell yeah, I want to be an astronaut when I grow up.
Yeah, my mom is a teacher. So also when I was, well, she's actually a principal, but she used to teach. And when I was small, I also was like, I want to be a teacher like my mom, but I don't want to do that anymore. I don't think that's for me. But yeah, I definitely didn't know anything about climbing at that point. So it was never, I want to be a climber. But now that has definitely changed.
Cool. So in preparation for this episode, I asked you to write a list of 5 things about you just to assist me and our listeners really to get to know you and connect with you as a person. The first thing, obviously, on your list is that you're a climber. Do you want to tell our listeners how climbing has shaped you?
Yeah, sure, I can try. I mean, I think climbing is such a big part of my life and I'm very happy that it is. I think it's taught me so many things. It teaches me things every day. Yesterday, I had a not the best session with James and like just learning to, like James helps me work through issues if I'm not happy with how I'm training and that kind of thing. So I think it teaches you patience, definitely. It's also the climbing community has shaped me because there's so many amazing people in the sport and everyone has their own story. So just getting to know different people and wanting to be like them when I'm older kind of thing. I think also, it's taught me a lot about how important like mental health is, just because mental, I don't know, awareness is such a big part of the sport. Like if your head's not in the game, it's probably not going to be a good day. So I think that has been a big part of, I don't know, my development in climbing.
All right, why don't we talk about goals and goal setting? I'm so curious to hear from you surrounding that.
Yeah, well, actually, also, James and I were talking about it Sunday, yeah, because it's important to have goals, I think. Sometimes I find it hard to set specific goals for myself, but I'm working on that too. I think I like having long-term goals because then if you look back and you've achieved them, it's really cool. More short-term are sometimes harder for me to set, but yeah, I think goals are really important. When we're looking at a comp or something coming up, we'll discuss what I want to get out of it and have those kind of goals. For the Olympics, for example, we were saying like top 14-ish would be a good goal. And then also small goals, like I don't know, like achieving your goals is always such a good feeling. So like I want to be more flexible by the end of the month and then work on flexibility, like that kind of thing. So I think it's really important to have those kind of goals.
And you were mentioning earlier about your mental game, those small goals and achieving those small goals can really help with keeping a positive outlook on those kinds of things.
Yes, exactly. And then it's also like sometimes you don't achieve your goals and having to deal with that is also a big learning experience. And that's okay too, because life doesn't always go the way you want it to go.
Have you set are you competing before the Olympics in any competitions?
At the moment we're hoping to go to America to do the two World Cups there, one's just Boulder and one's Boulder and Speed at the end of May. The only thing that would stop us is if we get our visas in time or not. But yeah, I'm hoping to do those two World Cups because I don't want to just, I've never done an open World Cup. I've only done Youth Worlds. So I don't want to just go into the Olympics without having competed against that caliber of athlete. So yeah, we're hoping to go to America next month.
What's the goals?
Yeah, so what we were talking about, my goals for those competitions, probably top 40 overall, depending on how many athletes enter, but top 40 overall for bouldering. And then speed, I want to get a new PB because my last PB is all the way from Africa Cup and I have been working on speed. So I'd really like to get a new PB.
What was your time in Africa Cup?
12-something. I don't know specifically. I can definitely check. I think it was, maybe 12:50. I'm not sure. But I know that in training since then, I've run better times. So
the only thing with the Africa Cup time is that the wall was shortened from top and bottom. So
exactly.
It's not an accurate personal best. But she did run 77 in Johannesburg on their wall, which is more up to scratch. We now have a wall in KwaZulu-Natal right at Aaron's school.
A third of the wall.
Very nicely supported by City Rock with that. Mm-hmm. Lending holds and adding, giving funding for the wall.
Yep, and my dad built it.
We erected it 2 weeks ago and we've already spent 3 sessions on there and Aaron's made like massive improvements just on the first quarter of the wall. So it's been quite fun to actually be able to spend a day or two in the week working on specifics instead of having to wait a month for it to go to Joburg and then spend 3 days there.
Yeah.
In terms of your training, you mentioned now that you don't have a speed wall. Let's talk about, or you haven't had a speed wall for a while. Let's talk about the three disciplines that you'll be competing in and what kind of resources you have at available for you to train.
Okay, yeah. So at the Olympics, we have to do all the disciplines, which is lead, speed, and boulder. Before the third of the speed wall was built in Kesedin, there's only one bouldering gym, Southern Rock, which I think is enough. I love Southern Rock, but it would be nice to have like a lead gym too, like City Rock, for example, because up until I started going to City Rock, I would just train lead outside, like on rock. That's the only place I could do. Obviously, you can do endurance in a bouldering gym, but it's not really the same as Tiffany Jaws, I think. And then, yeah, now we have the third of the speed wall, but I go up to Joburg once a month and train there lead and speed. So, yeah, it's sometimes a bit difficult, but I do love Southern Rock. Training there is fun.
You mentioned in a YouTube interview, I think you were with Chris, that lead was your favorite discipline.
Yes.
Why do you say so?
I think, especially outside, in case of them, like the sport climbing is so good. There's not so much bouldering. So I really just, I've been exposed to it more. And I really love the feeling of like being away from people. Like when you're higher up a sport route, it's just you and the wall. Like there's no one else. And I find that really cool. And even inside, like so far, all my lead comps have been, I've enjoyed them. I love bouldering too. It's just not speed. That's not my favorite, but I'm working on it. I think it's just like the repetitiveness can be hard to deal with regarding speed. And that's why I like sport climbing and bouldering so much, is because it's always a new challenge. It's always different.
That mental preparation of being above the bolt on lead, most of your training then you said has been outdoors. Do you think that that gives you an advantage compared to experiencing the above the bolt without exposure indoors?
I think lately I haven't been outdoors a lot, but before Africa Cup we were going outdoors quite a bit, sport climbing. I think it can go either way. Like being outside teaches you to adapt really fast, because the rock is how the rock is and you just have to deal with it. So especially if you like on sighting or flashing, you have to, yeah, like take it as it comes, I guess. But training on plastic is really good, because that's how the Olympics are going to be. So if I do have the opportunity, then it's good to do that too.
Another thing that you mentioned about yourself is that you do love to be around people, but you also like some solitary alone time. What do you do during your solitary alone time? Is it on the rock or is there something else?
Okay, yeah. Well, when I go climbing, I like being around people. So it wouldn't be that. Like climbing is like the time to spend with other people, I think. Sometimes, yeah, I just like a bit of time alone. I read. I do sometimes stretch, that kind of thing. Yeah, like just time away sometimes, you know. I like taking naps as well. So maybe have a little nap. I don't know.
What a beautiful segue into your last point about yourself, that you're usually laughing about something.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that Instagram question that Amber Duplessis asked. She wants to know if you'll remember her when you're famous.
Oh my goodness. So Amber's one of my friends. For people that don't know, she lives in Joburg now, but we went to school together for 5 or 6 years. And yeah, my friends have that joke where they're like, oh, are you going to remember us when you're famous? Which also just makes me laugh, because of course, I don't think I'm famous. So my mom was saying, you're famous here. And I was like, no, mom, I'm not famous. But yeah, the point about laughing as well, James is always like, okay, stop giggling. Now do the exercise, because I just laugh when I can't do things usually. But yeah, I guess.
It was quite fun. Like, we were doing endurance training and she was complaining about how difficult it was. And then I said something I can't remember and she ended up laughing and doing three sets of it while laughing. She just couldn't stop. I mean, it's great. It kind of like balances out the session of being so serious to actually keeping it quite fun.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do a little bit about your climbing, Erin. When you started, I see that you said you're still playing hockey. Is that still the case?
No, so I actually stopped like right after that was said, just because my family and James are both like, if you get injured and you can't go to the Olympics because you rolled your ankle playing hockey, that's not going to be good. So I did stop for now, but I have been playing up until this year. And then I also do play basketball, but all the team sports have mainly been stopped for now because of COVID. So I haven't done anything besides climbing in about a year now. But up until that point, I was doing basketball and hockey as well. Yeah, a little bit of running too.
Lucky. And you mentioned that you started climbing in grade 8 at your school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my school has, in KZN, there's a school's climbing league. So my school is part of that. And like half of, well, not half, a little bit of the reason I chose to go to Westville Girls was because I saw the climbing wall when we were looking at the school and I was like, that's so cool. So I joined the climbing club in grade 8 with my friend Amber, actually. And yeah, from there, the school's coach was like, you should do the school competition. So I started, and that first year I went to Lead Nationals. And from there, I was just hooked. I started training at the gym and it just progressed from there.
Cool. So you've mentioned, is your favorite place to climb the Wave Cave, an outdoor experience?
Mine is actually not. I really love Mgeni a lot, but Wave Cave is a close second. Wave Cave would be what I would say, like the opposite of my chosen style to climb. But that's really good to climb there then because it just teaches me so much. And it is super fun. It's so unique, the climbing. But yeah, Mgeni is probably my favorite crack.
So far.
So far. That's true.
Erin, can we talk a little bit about the business behind being a professional climber and going to the Olympics? And congratulations on your sponsorship with Black Diamond.
Thank you.
Well, RAM.
Yeah, it's RAM.
And okay, so who is RAM? What is RAM?
So RAM is like the company that Black Diamond is a part of. I don't know how to describe it. So RAM in South Africa, they're like a wholesale company and they have a lot of brands that fall underneath RAM. So there's Black Diamond, there's Beal, there's Singing Rock. There's a lot of different outdoor brands. It's mainly like outdoor gear and all the athletes are people who like being outside, that kind of thing. So yeah, I became an athlete this year. James is also an athlete. And yeah, so Black Diamond is part of that. So then I get all the Black Diamond gear, which is really cool. But I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that definitely does. And what do they require from their athletes? Is it social media posting? Is it mentions? What do they need from you guys?
It is mainly like social media, that kind of thing. And then I don't know if it's happening this year, but there's usually like a triathlon or like a RAM
meet
or event that the athletes would attend, which is really cool because you just get to be around like like-minded people because everyone is there because they love being outside.
Now the RAM team is not only just climbers, it's like trail runners and mountain enthusiasts and guys that are doing like big expeditions. And it's really cool because they're not only people that are in a climbing environment, they're also guys that are just at like running ultras and that kind of thing, which is super unique. And for us, just being on the edge of a cliff versus a guy running 110 kilometers across the berg, it's like completely out there. It's like not something I could see myself doing. But then putting themselves on the side of a cliff, trying really hard on gear, then you kind of feel like they won't be out there doing that kind of thing as well. So it's quite a nice balance of people. The people are really good humans, so it feels like a team and close family. And whenever you need support and that kind of thing, they're pretty open to helping out.
Yeah, RAM has been like so helpful this whole Olympic process. Like they've supported me which has been really cool to know that they have my back.
How have they supported you with gear, with trips to Cape Town, with...
So actually now we're going there after this podcast thing. But yeah, we've been discussing potential gear, hopefully an air harness, which is, I don't know if you know about that. It's like the super light speed specific harness. Yeah, the Black Diamond gear, basically whatever way they can help me, they are trying to. And then also if I do go overseas, they'll connect me with like people there. So that's really cool.
That is cool. To wrap up, I want to ask you a few of the Instagram questions. And more specifically, there was one question of mine that I think the listener would love to hear. What does it mean to you to be an Olympian?
Wow, that's a big one. I mean, obviously, I'm really excited about it. I also kind of don't think about it too much. Like, I try not to think that I'm going to the Olympics because then I'm just, like, excited, nervous, all of the emotions. But obviously, I'm, like, super honored that I get to go and represent South Africa. I'm also so excited for everything that I'm going to learn from the experience and then to be able to come back home and hopefully share the knowledge with other people and, like, advance the sport here. But no, I'm so excited. And it's also, it's like quite a big thing because my family, like we've watched the Olympics from when I was small. So the fact that I'm going to be there is just crazy to me.
In an interview with G Sport, you mentioned that your goal for the, or one of your goals for the Olympics was to advance the sport. Have you thought about how you're going to do that when you come back?
Right now, I don't have any specific plans, but I mean, who knows? Like after I come back, especially, I just need to finish school as well. But once I'm done with that and I have free time, like just being able to like, there's other younger kids that have started climbing. So possibly like training with them and just teaching them whatever I know would be really cool. Yeah, I don't have any specific plans yet, but I will definitely think about it more.
Cool. And then from Instagram, we got some love from Cheryl Jacob. She says, so proud of you, local star. How are you feeling mentally?
I mean, I think I'm in a relatively good mental space about it. Like I said, I don't think about it too much. But when I do, like, obviously there are nerves, but I'm really excited. And also, to be competing against the other athletes that are there is such a privilege because they literally are the best in the world. So, yeah, I'm really excited about it.
Is there something that you do to train yourself mentally, maybe visualization or something like that?
Not so much visualization yet, but I think just talking about it, like just sitting down with James and being like, okay, where are you? Like, what's going on? Well, how do you feel about this? I think that's really good, just like talking about it. And then also closer to the time, I'm sure it will be more going through the exact things. And also James was saying the other day, like, yes, visualizing like the sense and like what you're going to see and like that kind of thing, just so that you're like prepared on all aspects, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for joining us and all the technological difficulties that have come with it. We appreciate you and your patience so much.
Cool.
No problem.
Do either of you listen to podcasts? What would you want to hear from a South African podcast?
It would be nice to know more about like diet specifics for training and how people can benefit from actually being on like a proper diet plan. I know climbers are quite sensitive with being light and high performance and all that kind of thing, but I also know that that's also a facade. Like, it's not always about how light you feel, but it would be nice to know more about how climbers can benefit with good diet.
Yeah, and then I think for me, like, if there could be people like older people, climbers that have been climbing for a long time, just sharing like cool stories and things. I love to listen to that kind of thing, like their adventures and stuff. That'd be really cool.
Amazing. We'll definitely include that and maybe make a section calling those people to come and chat to us. Thanks so much, guys.
All right, cool.
Thank you.
Cheers, eh? Bye.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that was so much fun. Erin mentioned her dreams of reaching her personal best on the speed wall. As it turns out, she did exactly that. In May, in Salt Lake City in the US, at the IFSC World Cup. Actually, she got her fastest personal run and she broke the South African female speed record by doing the speed run at 12.04 seconds. Well done, Erin. And now, here's part of podcasting that fascinates me. You, as the listener, have just experienced and lived in and listened to a reality that took place a few months ago. In the interim, the circumstances have changed, and you are simultaneously living in a changed experience. This podcast is an expression of time, and you're experiencing both the past and present in juxtaposition. How does that make you feel? In general, thank you for listening. We love making this podcast and sharing local stories. We are committed to releasing one episode per month, but ever so often, there will be a bonus episode on a special public holiday. Thanks for listening all the way till the end. We appreciate it. There will be more episodes, so keep a lookout. If you enjoyed that podcast and you want to send us some love, donate through our SnapScan or our banking details. You can find it on our website. You can also find our email and our Instagram. Please contact us for a value exchange or really for anything. Tell us what you want to hear, what you liked, what you didn't like. Most importantly, rate, review, and share this podcast.